off like a wounded animal into the forest to seek a quiet, dark place to suffer through the last agonies of what most of the crews of the Warwax had been certain was an abdominal rad cancer. The whispers around the Vills, Frontier Pestles, and Gaudis that the traitor still lived had come to Ryan like bolts from the clear blue sky. And his first reaction had been that this was all the stuff of legend. Then the whispers had become more frequent, about a grizzled man, short on temper and long on nerve, carrying the ubiquitous battered armalite among the flaming fall leaves of New England, down on the coral keys of the extreme southeast, shuffling through the ghoul-haunted streets of the old Windy City, trapping beaver in the shens, clearing out some Comanchero bandits from a ville a spit away from the Grandee, fighting a duel with a trio of weird Mohawk sisters perched among the spidery remnants of a 90-story skyscraper in the burned-out blocks of Lower Manhattan. Stories, stories, stories. It was the repetition of these mythic tales that began to preoccupy the thoughts of Abe, until the skinny ex-gunner couldn't live with the doubts. He needed to go and turn them into certainties, one way or the other. As the WAG rolled toward Durango, JB was at the controls, leaving Ryan plenty of time for his own thoughts, riding shotgun across a deserted landscape. But he still couldn't get his mind clear on what he really thought about Traitor. The message now removed any doubts that the old man was still this side of the Dark River, and that, if things went well, Ryan and JB might be seeing him again within the next couple of weeks. Would Traitor expect them to rejoin him? Or would he want to assume the leadership of their small group? Neither of them were ideal options for Ryan. The blacktop ran across a stretch of open prairie, a broad plateau of sun-bleached turf surrounded by banks of tall, dark pines.
Looks like someone's been farming the grass here.
Yeah, I noticed. But it seems from up here like some kind of army's been marching through. Grass is all trampled down and muddied.
There was a swath of worn turf at least 400 yards wide, stretching from east to west, as far as Ryan could see. As the LAV went closer, he noticed that there were piles of animal droppings everywhere.
Cattle. See the hoof marks as well as their shit. A lot of cattle.
Could be one of the local tribes of Native Americans. Maybe moving from one hunting ground to another, taking all their animals with them.
Ryan stood up higher to get a better look, steadying himself with both hands on the sides of the turret. If the armorer was right, then it had to be a tribe of hundreds and hundreds of people to leave a track of that size. To one side of the open space, nearly in among the fringe of the forest, Ryan could see half a dozen coyotes squabbling over a raggled carcass of what looked to be a calf. But it was too far away to be certain.
Any vills around here?
Don't have the maps handy. Can you come down and get them? Check it out.
Ryan found the tattered atlas and traced the thin wavering lines with his forefinger, trying to work out just where they'd gotten to. You didn't travel long in Deathlands before realizing the old road maps were only the most rudimentary guides to human habitation. Some of the biggest cities of the pre-dark United States, such as Washington, D.C. itself, had been vaporized in the first few hours of the final mega war. Most had been hit hard and repeatedly, sometimes destroying the buildings. In other cases, the enemy had utilized neutron technology that killed all life, but left the artifacts untouched. Many of the smaller settlements had vanished forever, particularly those that were sited close to any of the Legion of Missile bases that composed the bedrock of the totality concept of national defense.
There's a place called Wetherill Springs, a dot on the highway, 10 miles or so from here.
The engine's starting to run hot. I topped up the oil last night, and it took more than I figured it would. Could mean trouble.
Having originally taken the Lav 25 as part of the spoils of a firefight, Ryan knew how lucky they were to have it at their disposal for their odyssey to Seattle. It was a damnably long journey, and to try to complete it on foot would have come close to being impossible. If the WAG broke down on them now, in such an isolated region, it would be difficult even to try to steal some alternative form of transport, and it would likely mean the spilling of blood. The highway passed across the plateau, then snaked away into the woods. It commenced to climb within the mile, going along the eastern flank of a narrow valley with a white river foaming at its bottom. There was a row of roofless, windowless vacation cabins on the far side of the water, reached by a rusting bridge. Ryan considered suggesting an early halt there for the night, but the derelict buildings offered little cover.
good grade ahead.
Ryan was sitting right out on top, one arm hanging onto the muzzle of the cannon. He'd hoped that they'd have reached the large villa of Durango by that evening, but the blacktop had been in poor condition earlier in the day, and it had slowed them. If Wetherill Springs really existed, it might be the best they could hope for. The road became steep, and Ryan could feel the shuddering of the big engine as it labored upward. Ryan crawled cautiously forward and lay flat.
Think we should give it a break for a while? Sounds to me like it might burn out the way we're going.
How far to the top?
Good 3 miles or more. Difficult to be certain with the way it twists and turns like a gaffed salmon.
All right. Looks like a pull-off ahead.
Ryan could see the waves of heat shimmering above the engine as JB opened it up. And he could also detect the faint smell of overheated oil, so familiar from the years of riding with Warwags 1 and 2.
What's it look like?
It looks to me like we might be walking the rest of the way to Seattle.
As bad as that?
No, but something's burning out down there. I reckon we have enough oil on board to keep going another 3 or 4 days, maybe more.
Maybe less.
Right.
Let her cool off.
Sure. Better keep a real careful eye on the gauge tomorrow and the other tomorrows.
Yeah. The longer we go without walking, the happier I'll be. I'm just going for a leak.
Right. Have one for me, will you?
Ryan grinned. He walked across the blacktop and up a narrow dirt road that cut away into the trees. He just unzipped when he heard a noise behind him and turned around to see a full-grown African lion crouched less than 20 paces away. Ryan had seen pictures of carnivorous hunting animals like the lion and several mags and pre-dark vids, but he'd never thought that he'd encounter one while taking a piss in a Colorado forest. It looked to be about 8 or 10 feet in length, from the huge maned head to the tip of the twitching tail. The eyes were a unique mixture of emerald and gold, flecked with a darker green. The mouth was just open, with a rope of saliva dribbling onto the carpet of dry pine needles below it. There was the faintest sound emanating from the predator's throat.
Fire blast.
The Sig Sauer was snug on his hip, but he wasn't sure what kind of stopping power it would have on an animal of that size. But it looked like he was about to find out. Very slowly, Ryan moved his right hand toward the butt of the 9mm automatic. The reaction from the lion was instantaneous. The lion's jaws opened much wider, showing yellow curved teeth that looked as if they could easily go through a man's thigh in a single crunching bite.
Better grab hold of your prick again, mister.
Ryan started, half turning to his right, where the woman's voice had come from. But he could see nobody beyond the dark barrier of the pines. The lion was now in a half crouch, its hind legs cocked beneath it, ready to power the animal toward the watching man in a couple of giant bounds. Its eyes had narrowed, and the snarling had stopped. Only the bushy tip of its tail kept moving from side to side, brushing at the pine needles. Ryan's hand was down on the cold butt of his Sig Sauer.
Balthazar will have your throat out and your guts spilled in the dirt before that pretty little gun cleared leather.
If you got some control over this animal, lady, then you best use it.
Use it?
Or lose it. Fastest lion I ever heard of wasn't quick enough to beat 15 rounds of Full Metal Jacket. You want it to stay living, then call it off.
Big talk for a one-eyed man, mister.
This isn't a game, lady. I aim to chill your pet in about 6 seconds from now.
Think you're good enough?
I know I'm good enough.
The shock had been so cataclysmic that Ryan was actually surprised that he hadn't pissed his pants. Now he was regaining control.
Time's gone, lady.
Balthazar!
The crack of command made the lion hunker down again, its eyes narrowing, mouth closing.
That's better.
Ryan drew the Sig Sauer, just in case.
If you feel so much better, mister, then you can just zip up your britches and put away that little white worm I see dangling out in the cold.
Ryan smiled, despite the tenseness of the situation, using his left hand to adjust himself.
Ahem. There. Now you can come out safely.
Thanks.
Balthazar looked up as the woman stepped out of the shadows of the trees, a little to the left of where Ryan had placed her. She was tall and slender, with long hair, blacker than the wing of a raven, tied back in a ponytail. Her eyes were light blue, and she was wearing dark green pants and a matching jacket with black knee-length boots.